Now, the rest of the story. An addiction was sweeping the land. It was a plague which, if unabated, could crush the country. The military appeared to be hardest hit. At least the effects of the habit were most disastrous among the men defending the nation. For should they be less than alert, their land would be less than free. And so it was that the weight of this ponderous problem fell on the young shoulders of King James II. The country was at war. Should the arrows of the archers of the king not fly true, his subjects may soon be slaves. It was not enough to discourage the addiction by word. The king decided it must be abolished by law. But could such a prohibition be enacted effectively? 6 years before James II was born, his own father, James I, had witnessed a similar act of Parliament, and it had worked only for a while. It had not cured the disease. And otherwise, there was no precedent anywhere for such legislation, successful or not. And so, there on his throne sat King James II, knowing what must be done, without knowing exactly how to do it. But this is the rest of the story. The mission of James I was to create a powerful crown, and yet he was killed before that dream was fulfilled. James II took up where his father had left off. Not yet 19, he was fully established in his authority and set his own policies. To the powerful and independent landholding companies, he sent a message that divided they would all perish at the hands of enemies from without, that only under one ruler could their nation be truly united. Indeed, there were castles within their borders that had been overtaken already by invaders, were being used right now as outposts. From the edges of the kingdom, the first dominoes had already fallen. And if the country were to be secure again, priorities must change. In 1456, James II ordered a military strike on his enemies. And yet while his people appeared unified in that cause, there was this dreadful, this awful addiction that threatened them all, even in the very military ranks, a habit so preoccupied that it distracted his own army and his archers couldn't even shoot straight. So the following year, with battle still raging, the king beseeched Parliament to enact a law forbidding that habit and acknowledging the desperation of the situation. Parliament complied. James II, even as he lived, was known as Fiery Face. That was kind of a prophetic appellation when you think about it. For at the age of 29, while inspecting a cannon prior to the assault on Roxburgh Castle, he was blown to smithereens by the defective artillery piece, and once again, a dream had outlived a king. Historians ponder the relevance of the rule of James II of Scotland, even to this day. And yet, I'll bet, from this day forward, you will remember him. You will remember James II because of the law he inspired. A law which he insisted upon for the sake and salvation of Scotland. Legislation designed to eradicate a dangerous distraction. He was sure that his law would end then and thereafter the seductive obsession called golf. And now you know the rest of the story.